Strategies Radio, and happy Monday to each and every one of you. This is your host, Michelle Price, and on Twitter, at Prosperity Gal, coming to you from the third coast of Houston, Texas today, where I'm excited to say we've got rain, yay, and the temperature's cooler. So, you know, today, our tip, oh, I just love first Mondays of the month, is with Don Cooper. And he's known as the sales heretic. And he is going to be sharing with us what we can do to get a head start on our sales for 2012. So I want to ask you to please join me in welcoming Don Cooper. How are you doing this morning, Don?
Good morning, Michelle. I am great. How are you?
I'm lovely. You know I'm always happy when the temperature's cooler.
Yep.
All right. So what do you mean, Don, when you say get a head start on 2012 with our sales?
Well, your sales can grow one of two ways, accidentally or strategically. If you want real sales growth, it needs to be strategic, which means you need to spend some time planning your sales for next year. And this is a great time to do that. Whether you're a salesperson, a small business owner, or a CEO, you need a plan for your business and for your sales. And if you can spend some time now, the next few weeks, you can make sure that 2012 is going to be one of your best sales years ever. The way to create your strategic plan is very simple. All you need to do is answer a few simple questions, and I'm going to share those with you. First, you want to look back at this previous year and start with that as your baseline. So the first question that you want to answer is, did you reach your sales goals? Now, of course, this presupposes you had sales goals for the past year. If you didn't, then that's the first thing you want to do for next year, determine what your sales goals are going to be. Assuming you had sales goals for this past year, that's the first question. Did you achieve the goals you set out for yourself? If the answer is yes, well, what were the keys to achieving those goals? And if the answer is no, what's the reason or what are the reasons that you didn't achieve those goals? And be honest. Look at your strengths and weaknesses. And don't just blame the economy. You didn't make your sales goals. Don't say, oh, the economy sucked. Okay. Yes, the economy did suck. And yet some people are achieving record sales. Some salespeople are having their best year ever. Some companies are growing at a phenomenal rate, even though others in their industry are not. So don't blame the economy. Look at really what you did, what your company did. And as you look at what you did over the past year, ask yourself, what did you do well? Give yourself and your company credit for things that you did effectively. What initiatives worked? What risks did you take that paid off? What habits served you well? What beliefs served you well? And then ask, what mistakes did you make? What initiatives didn't work? What risks didn't pay off? What beliefs and attitudes are holding you back? Where did you make an error in judgment? Or where did you make a bad plan? And look at the reasons those mistakes occurred. Because only by looking at what you did wrong can you avoid doing that again next year. And then the last questions you want to ask yourself related to the previous year is, who were your best customers? And you want to know the answer to that question for two reasons. Number one, you want to make sure you take care of those people for next year, because a lot of your sales will come from your best customers, not to mention a lot of your referrals. And the other reason you want an answer to that question is that your best customers are your profile for your best new prospects. When you can determine what your best customers have in common, you can look for more of those types of customers out there. That makes your marketing efforts and prospecting efforts a lot easier and a lot more effective. Once you've reviewed this past year, you want to look ahead to next year. And you want to ask, what can you count on next year? What things are you reasonably certain about? Have you signed any contracts this past year that are guaranteed income for next year? Do you have verbal commitments from certain prospects for next year? Do you know some things about the industry trends for next year? What in your company can you count on? If you have had very low employee turnover for 10 years, well, you can probably count on that again for next year. So what things are you reasonably sure about for next year? And then, what can't you count on for next year? And I would encourage you to put a lot more things in that category than the first one, because assumptions lead us into trouble. If you assume the client who's been with you for a long time will stay with you next year, that gets you in trouble. Don't assume that that company will stay with you. Make it a point to emphasize to yourself and to others that any client could drop you at any time unless they're taken care of. So don't take your clients for granted. Don't take your industry for granted. Don't take your employees for granted. And don't take yourself for granted. Next question is, what will be different next year? Every single year is different from the previous one. What changes are likely to occur next year in your industry, in your region, in the economy in general, in your company, among your clients? Because those differences can be potential pitfalls or opportunities. Then ask, where should you devote your resources? Looking back over the past year and looking at what worked and what didn't work, what mistakes you made and what things you did well, you want to apply that towards the next year. What do you need to do more of, and what do you need to do less of? Where are your strengths best suited? Where are you weak, and therefore it makes sense to not do those things and have somebody else do them instead? You've got a finite amount of resources in terms of time, energy, and money. So where can you devote those that will give you the biggest payoff? And the final question is, what's something new you should try? If you're going to succeed long term, whether as a salesperson or CEO, you need to innovate. You need to always be trying new things. What have you never done before that you could do? What has nobody that you know have done before that you could try? Or what has somebody else done that you could take, borrow, tweak, adapt to yourself or your company? You want to always be looking for new things because you never have any idea what could work. And sometimes some of the best ideas are accidents. So brainstorm with yourself, brainstorm with your colleagues, friends, family, anybody you can, to come up with ideas for what could you do this coming year you've never done before. That can be a huge source of growth for you. Ask these questions. Get good answers for them. It shouldn't take too terribly long, but it's an extremely viable exercise that will give you a jump start on your next year's sales and will ensure that you have a great sales year.
You know, Don, there's one question or one of the things that you talked about in there I'd like to talk about for a second, because I found that to be a hurdle for me because I use everyone else's definition. And
okay.
You talked about who are some of your best customers and how can you go find more of those. And there's so many people in the business world now talking about you need to niche it down, you need to narrow it down. So you're talking to, you know, a defined audience. And what I found for me is that while you can niche it down, you can also narrow it down too narrow.
Yes, you can.
As speakers and consultants, one of the things that was my, quote, niche was the actual topic that I bring to the table and the way that I bring it. And
right.
I would be curious to hear, because you're the same thing. Yes, you could focus on doing all speaking and talking to people in the automotive industry.
Right.
But as a speaker, is that really something that you want to do? So I'd like to hear your thoughts around how not to niche yourself into brokedom.
Well, that's a good question, because actually that kind of happened to me. I had a niche that I was very, very active in. That was the bulk of my business. And then when the economy tanked in 2008, well, that niche suffered a lot more than most other industries, and that really hurt my business. So I've learned that you should not put all your eggs in one basket, niche-wise. When I say determine who your best customers are, it's important to understand a couple of things. Number one, your best customers might not just be in one industry. So your best customers might share a particular demographic profile or psychographic profile. And that's what you want to figure out, is what do your customers have in common? And by best customers, I usually mean those customers who are the most profitable for you. Now, you could include in that definition the customers that are most fun to work with, or the customers who give you the most referrals. So you can define that kind of how you want. The question is, you know, what are the customers you would like to have more of? And the second thing about that is, just because you're determining and focusing on who your best customers are doesn't mean you want to ignore everybody else. You're not saying no to everyone outside of this core group. It's just that that core is where you want to focus your efforts, because that's where you'll get the biggest return. You can't prospect everywhere. You can't market to everybody. You don't have the time, the energy, or the money to do that. So where will you get the biggest return? The biggest return is the people who already love you the most and people like them.
I think that's really good. We expanded on that a little bit, especially since we're talking about, you know, kind of jumping ahead or planning for 2012, because I've found that looking at people's core values and how they showed up in my world was
right.
How I started identifying who were my best customers. So thank you for sharing what happened with you and how that worked well for you as well.
You're very welcome, Michelle. We'll be right back.